Lord, we thank you. And we thank you that you have spoken to us. We thank you, Lord, that in this season of Advent, you want to just place on our hearts the importance of thanking you that you came to take away our sins and to assure us of a place with you in all eternity. And to assure us, Lord, that you will come again to judge this earth. And Lord, we should use this time of Advent to prepare our hearts. Lord, we shouldn't get caught up in all the commercialism, in all the bustle of all the other pressures of having to buy the right presents, cook the right food, invite the right people. Lord, you want to remind us of what the importance of this season is, where we should place our priorities in you, God alone. So Lord, yes, let us use this time in the coming weeks to spend time with you, to hear from you, to be reassured by you that you are sovereign, you are in command. And we thank you for this reassurance, and we thank you for this time together. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, band. Sorry, I didn't mention at the beginning what the sort of program of events was for this meeting. So we'll start with a good period of worship and listening to the Lord. We've done that. And now we're going to change tack slightly. We're going to hear from Anthony. I'm hoping that many of you would have tuned in last Sunday night for our members' meeting when Anthony would have and Dan would have introduced the idea of some blessing meetings, sort of a change of tack for the next 6 months in the new year as we use our meetings slightly differently. And to reinforce that, we felt that it was important to get Anthony up again just to share that to all of you again and to clarify some of the issues. I hope that's what he's going to do. But if not, he's going to do whatever he's going to do. But so I'm going to hand over to Anthony. Lord, we just pray your blessing on him. We just pray that you would speak to us through him. And Lord, that you would give us vision for what it is that we feel you have placed on our heart. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hello, everybody. It's me again. So we're going to start with a question, a bit of interaction. I like to do this, and if nobody offers, then I'm going to pick on some people, okay? And nobody's been prepared for this. So what's your purpose? To love God. That's a good one. I like that. Anybody else got a purpose in life? To love God's people. Glorify God and enjoy him forever. If my mum were here, she would answer something very similar from the Penny Catechism. Annie, go for it. Absolutely. I think I got half of it, but I got the energy. And we are helping one another. That's right. We're standing alongside one another. Any other purposes? Purpose? What's that?
To worship God.
Okay. So I think we're getting there. I'm going to get the clicker now. Or maybe I'm going to ask you to click. Is that right? Okay. Wait. Stick on this slide. We're not going to move yet. Okay. So obviously the things that have come out are things that we all know. Our purpose is to love God. Our purpose is to love neighbor. Our purpose is to become Christ-like. Our purpose is to follow Christ. Our purpose is to worship God. These are all things that we know. They're true. And if we get back to the basics, some of us think of the Ten Commandments. And, okay, if we just follow the Ten Commandments, maybe that's what our whole purpose is. And they're often seen in the negative. Don't take the name of the Lord in vain. Don't steal, don't murder, all that kind of stuff. Have no other gods before me. But they don't only point to the negative. They point to the positive as well. Don't do this. but they actually open our eyes to the positive. Do this. It's split into two parts. The first table of the law, love of God, and the second table is about loving our neighbor. But it's summarized by Jesus, and now we can go to the next slide, where he answers this question, teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest? He said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great, or the greatest and first commandment. And a second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So we know that Jesus is quoting from Deuteronomy. And he's revealing not only the word of God in Deuteronomy, but also the heart of God. We are to love our neighbor, not just love our neighbor, but love our neighbor as ourself. It's something about our heart. It's not just don't steal, don't murder, don't covet, but love your neighbor as yourself. If we go to the next slide. A new command I give to you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. So it's clear, not just love as you love yourself, but love as I, Jesus, have loved you. And so this is the focus for today, and this is the focus for our remaining academic year until next summer. Loving our neighbor as we love ourselves, as Jesus has loved us. And so how does life look like when we love one another, when we are being loved? So we know what our purpose is, love of God and love of neighbor. What is Jesus's purpose? I think next click. Jesus says clearly to us that he has come that we might have life and have it to the full. And it comes in the middle of a sermon on the Good Shepherd. Sheep don't need much, I don't think. There are any sheep after all. But he's talking about abundant life and blessing to the full in the context of sheep. He's responding to this outcry from the Pharisees about him healing somebody, healing a blind man. And the healing is abundant blessing. And then we get this homily, this sermon about sheep. Laying down your life for sheep, well, that's crazy abundant blessing. They're only sheep. And unlike for sheep, who probably don't need the abundance that Jesus is talking about just to survive, God's framework, his worldview, his economics, his political system, is one where abundance and blessing is for everyone. One where you and I are not competing for abundance or blessing. And that's God's purpose. But how does he achieve this? How does he actually achieve this abundance and blessing for everyone? This life to the full? I think you can click again. Well, he does it through us, doesn't he? He does it through us. We are the body of Christ. And so I'll just read from Teresa of Avila, who was a Carmelite nun, a reformer in the Catholic Church in the 1500s. And she has a very famous poem. Christ has no body now but yours, no hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes through which he looks compassion on this world. Yours are the feet with which he walks to do good. Yours are the hands through which he blesses all the world. Yours are the hands, yours are the feet, yours are the eyes, you are his body. Christ has no body on earth but yours. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. So Jesus came that we might have life and have it to the full. And how do others know and experience that? By being loved, as Christ loved, as we love ourselves, through us. Through us loving our neighbors, through our hands, our feet, our eyes. He can't do it without us. We're his body. I think we'll stay on this slide for the moment. So how do we actually do this? And I think many of us can think of these fantastic examples of these brilliant people that we know or know from history. You know, movements to end slavery, for example, or civil rights in the US, improving prison conditions. But let's bring it a bit closer to home, you know? Food banks, Emmaus House, up the road. Still sounds a bit tough to me. So it gives me kind of great hope that my fellow Christians have done and do those wonderful things. They live out being Christ's body, bringing abundant blessing to others and loving others as Christ loved, as we love ourselves. But they sound really difficult. And so I'm going to bring it down to my level, okay? And I want to focus on some simple ways that we can show God's love to others. Okay, listening. We know that there are many voices shouting at us in this culture, in this society, in this time. Communication at our fingertips. How many have got their phones on and are looking at them right now? Don't raise your hand. It's absolutely fine. Some people have just put them away in their pockets. It's 24 hours a day, isn't it? But I guess this level of communication that we feel we're part of gives us kind of, some of us, a false sense of connection, of true relationship. Gen Z, some of you are Gen Z, the most connected generation, is often considered by social scientists, I don't often put those two words together, as the loneliest generation. It's rare for people to be truly heard. So listening, committing to slowing down, asking questions, listening to people, listening to understand, not just to prepare your response, listening without interruption or judgment. You value and love people when you hear and understand them. Okay. Listening, they matter, they can be heard. Okay. A second simple way to love people is to be generous. And I think some of you will be able to think immediately of examples when you were shown generosity by somebody. And that moment was where you thought, wow, I can't believe they did that. I just can't believe it. Maybe it was a gift of time. Maybe it was money. Maybe it was some kind words. Maybe they stood up for you. And that made you feel something. And I'm guessing it made you feel that actually you belong, you're heard, you're loved. You felt like you were somebody. You felt valued and you remembered that act of generosity. It made a difference to you. Okay, next one. Just on generous, I just want to remind you that we all know John 3:16, when God's for God so loved the world that he gave, and we know what the next thing is, right? And so I suppose when we're being generous, we're actually following that. We're following God's example. We are his hands, so we can give. We love our spouse, our children, our friends. We give to them. So we can think about who we can give to, who we can invest time with. You feel valued when somebody's been generous with you. Okay, we're on to encouraging, I think. Go, go Wasps. Anybody who knows French might know that this means to kind of strengthen, to make strong. And most of us are not whole individuals who can carry everything that is chucked at us. We are carrying some kind of a burden. And we need to be made strong. Even the most sound, altogether people who look like they've got it all together have things weighing them down. And how can we lift their burdens? Well, often it's just encouragement. It's a word of encouragement. We make people strong by encouraging them. We strengthen their hope, their faith, and their resolve to keep going. So another way that we can love people is to give and speak life-giving words into their circumstances. Encourage. They're given strength. Okay? Next one. I'll be quick, because we can keep going. There are lots of ways to love people. But I thought these were examples that were helpful for us. Acts of kindness. If you show kindness to someone, it means at that point that you're thinking about them ahead of yourself. what is their need, and you provide for it in some way. It can be thoughtful. It can be a communication. Love is not self-seeking, and an act of kindness is a way of being selfless. An act of kindness materially makes someone's life better. Okay, and then the final point is to pray for people. God hears our prayers, we know that. But we can pray for people when we're with them. If you want to show love for someone, if you want to love someone, you can say, can I pray with you? Right then and there. How can I pray for you? If someone's sick, say, can I pray with you? And then pray with them. Show them love and genuinely pray for their needs and thank God for their good news and see how God can work through prayer. Prayer, entrust them and their needs to God. Okay, next slide. All of those points that I made start and end with relationship. That's the heart of loving God and loving others, relationship. That's the focus of our meetings that we're going to be doing next term, our blessing meetings. It's about relationship. So I'm just going to finish this very short little time just to remind you that we are providing each other with an opportunity to love. We're going to meet people where they're at. We will be building relationship. And through that relationship, we will be loving people. We will be having an opportunity to be with people, to listen to them, to generously give our time, your time, my time to these people, to develop and have developed a depth of relationship, to be able to know how to encourage them and to give them acts of kindness when they need it. And to have the opportunity, the open door, to offer and to pray with them and for them. And those blessing meetings that we're going to be doing next term are a structured opportunity to bless others. So these are an opportunity, just one, to live out the great commandment to love God and to love one another. To be Christ's hands, feet, ears. Building, intentional building of relationships. The blessing meetings, to quote someone from our members' meeting when we discuss these, will be to love people through doing the things that we do best. So that's what these meetings will be. And they're going to be the things I've just mentioned. Practically, there'll be a few other things as well. So can we have the next slide? So I just want to give an orientation to the new year, as far as I can, because the details are being worked out. So what we will have is we'll have a series of meetings. I can't see the slides, but you can work it out. I haven't put things like members' meetings and Lord's Days in here. These are basically our Sunday meetings, pretty much. And we're going to have a couple of meetings at the beginning of term that won't be these blessing meetings. And then in February, at Acton Baptist Church, we're going to have our first blessing meeting. And this will be a meeting where you will invite someone who you think would be blessed and loved by being with you, being with us, doing a game in a small group, and participating in a quiz that someone is going to prepare that will be very inclusive and fun for everybody. And that's it. That's all we're going to do. We'll have some nice refreshments. It's a lovely place to have such a meeting. But it's just a relational opportunity. And then we will have one a month later. And we have lots of ideas. But we still need someone who's going to organize that. And so we'll see how that goes. Some meetings will be far more content focused, and some meetings will be more social focused like this. But they're about relationship, and they're about loving people in practical, real ways, which means they're not about the meetings. The meetings are a hook for you and an opportunity for you to get help from me and from everybody else to build relationship. It's kind of a kick and a help for that building of relationship. And that's why we're doing it, because we feel we need to help one another with this. Okay? So it's not about the meetings. It's about your relationships. And actually, I hope that some of those relationships will become mine and that your friends will be mine. And that's how we do things here. Okay, that's enough of an orientation. I don't think we need questions, do we, Jonathan? Because I'm not going to be able to provide many answers. Okay.
Thank you, Anthony, and thank you for all you're doing to encourage us in this area. And the main encouragement is to get thinking and to be thinking about who you can invite, be thinking about what you'd like to do and see at those meetings, and to volunteer to do something that you think would be fun and a blessing to those people you know and you're going to bring along. And it's going to be an adventure for us all, but it's going to be a blessing, definitely. Great. We're now just